Good morning, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel Passaic Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua, Insights into the Daf series. This week's Daf is Maseches Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel. The shiur is going to be learned, Le'ili Nishmas, my father, Zichron Levracha, of Yosef Meir ben Chaim Kaufman, as well as Erez, his father, Avram Shol ben Shulam Salma. May the Nishmas have an Aliyah. The topic is the second Mishnah, and the impact of the Big Six. Now, when I was in college graduating, I had a lot of friends who went into accounting. And at that point, the big news was, and the big lure was, to get a job offer from the Big Six. At that time, there were six major accounting firms out there. And getting one of those jobs meant much better salary, great interviews, hotels on the interviews, and a better chance to get experience to get your CPA. Since then, the Big Six, I believe, has now merged or dwindled into the Big Four. But there's another idea of a Big Six, and that is what our Mishnah is going to be speaking about, another group of six. But this is what we call the Sheish Arayos Chamuros. After listing the first 15 Arayos in the after listing the 15 Arayos in the first Mishnah that putter their tzara from Yibum, our next Mishnah goes on to list the Big Six Arayos. And what are these Big Six Arayos? These Big Six Arayos are Imo, his mother, Ashes Aviv, the mother of his father, the wife of his father, Achos Aviv, sister of his father, Achoso Me Aviv, his paternal sister, and Ashes Achi Aviv, and the wife of your paternal brother, and also Ashes Achiv Me Aviv. I'm sorry, the first one was Ashes Achi Aviv, the wife of your paternal brother, yes, and the age of your father's paternal brother, sorry. Ashes Achi Aviv is the wife of your father's paternal brother. The Ashes Achiv Me Aviv, this is the wife of your paternal brother. Now, what do we know about these Arayos? So, the Gemara, the Rishon already says that these are Sheish Arayos Chamurus Me'ela. These Arayos are more Chamur than the 15 earlier. And the Mishnah says, if nation is Suos La'acherim, we'll just put it down as because they can marry other people. And the consequence is tarosan mutaros, and the tsaros are mutar. So right off the bat, you seem to say, wait a second, this mission doesn't seem to make any sense. We were talking about 15 arayos in the first Mishnah, and we know that in the 15 arayos in the first Mishnah, not only are they usher to do yibum, but their tsaros are not allowed to do yibum. Now here, we're saying that these arayos are more chamer, and yet their tsaros are mutar to marry. You can't marry one of these arayos, you could marry one of these tsaros. And the question is, what is the meaning of this cryptic Mishnah? So let's first, we're going to take two opinions. We're going to look at the Rashi, and we're going to look at the Rambam, the Perush and Mishnayos. Each of them is going to have a little bit of a different take on the halacha that comes out of this Mishnah, and of course it's going to lead to, as always, a major nafkamina, or a difference in halacha between the two opinions. Because as we know, when a person goes on, he takes two trains and they start going on the same path, and one of them veers off a little bit, each one veers off a little bit. Eventually, the tracks veer off a little bit on an angle to each other, to each side. Eventually, they're going to reach a totally different spot. So Rashi tells us, these arayos are more chamer. Rashi asks, Mahu achamer shalahem? What is their stringency? And Rashi says, the stringency is, shenesuos lachem, they're able to marry others. What does that mean? So Rashi goes on to explain this a little bit further. The terminology in the mission that says shenesuos lacherim means einon yecholim linasi la'achiv. In other words, they are only allowed to marry those not related to him and can't marry any of his paternal brothers. Let's look at the case of Imo to explain. Okay, the case goes like this. A man named Yaakov marries two wives. The first wife is named Leah. She has a boy named Reuven. The second wife, named Rachel, has a boy named Yosef. Keeping with the Chumash examples to make things a little bit easier to remember and keep track. So again, Leah marries Yaakov and has Reuven. Rachel marries Yaakov and has Yosef. Shortly after, Yaakov, the husband of the two wives, and the father of the two respective children, Reuven and Yosef, passes away. Leah then, who was Reuven's mother, marries another man named Avraham. At this point, Avraham also has a second wife named Sarah. So just to summarize, how does the family situation look like right now? So we see like now. Avraham has two wives. Sarah, his original wife, and Leah, who has a son named Reuven from a previous marriage. Reuven still has a paternal brother named Yosef from his father's second wife. Avram then passes away, leaving both wives behind. The Mishnah tells us, according to Rashi, that Reuven is able to marry Sarah, who was his mother's tzara. Why would this be so? Why wouldn't she say she's tzara sa'erva? So this is where the explanation of Rashi comes in. Leah, as the original wife of Yaakov, was forbidden to marry not only Reuven, her son, but also Yosef, Yaakov's other son from previous marriage, because she was Eshes Aviv. Since Yosef, the other brother, could never marry her, there's no asering her tzara, because the chiddush of this mishnah, according to Rashi, is that it's only by women who in theory are able to marry your brother where we would say tzara sa'erva is asur. Since this woman can never marry his brother, she will not asur her tzara. In other words, the opinion of Rashi is there's no iser of tzara sa'erva by women who can't marry your brother. This is why Reuven can marry Sarah, who was his mother's tzara. And it actually comes out from this Mishnah that the erva of Imo, which in a sense is more chomer, because your mother can never marry any of your brothers, actually has a kulo that we can marry the tzara. Now, why do we only apply this chomer of not marrying tzara sa erva by arayos who are able to marry your brother? So the answer comes from the fact that the whole pitur of itzara is learned from the Gemara on Daf Gimel, which teaches us, it's a halacha by Achos Eisho. It says, V'yishol achosah lo sikach, l'tzror legalos ervasah le'bechayeha. This Paul Pasuk teaches us the din that an erva, you can't do yibum with an erva. In addition, right, from the Pasuk of, sorry, what do we do over here? So we make a gzeir shava, the gzeir shava of Aleha over here, and Aleha Bayibam, where it says, Yevama Yevtavo, Yevama Yevo Aleha. So this tells us that what? That just like you can't marry this woman normally, this Achos Isha, in a normal situation, you also can't marry her in a situation where there'd be Yibam. There's also the word Litzror. What does Litzror come to do? Litzror comes to pater also her tzara. So we see that this whole context, the whole concept of tzara sa'erva being pater is only in a situation where Yibum could take place. Where could Yibum take place? Yibum could only take place in a situation where it's possible to marry the brother. Since over here, like this first example of Imo, where it's impossible to marry the brother, it's out of the parasha of Yibum, being out of the parasha of Yibum completely. It's also out of the parasha of Tzara. So therefore we see that Tzara Sa'erva in this case is going to be mutter by the big six arayos. Now the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos takes the things a step further and writes the following. Amnam, the truth is, Elu Shisha Ha'arayos, these six arayos, Efshar Shiyisa Osam, Achiv Me'raviv. It's impossible for them to marry your paternal brother. Lefi Shehim Arayos El Achiv. Ve'ein Kedushin Tovsin Barayos. So the Rambam adds in those extra words that, yes, you can't marry your brother's... Sorry, you can't marry... The other brother cannot marry that first wife. In the situation that we were speaking about before, Yosef cannot marry Leah, because she was her father's wife. Because she was a wife of his father. So the Rambam says that and once this is the case, there's no tefisas kedushin. And any type of kedushin or marriage has no significance. Amnam, yesh lahen kedushin al acherim, but they could marry other people. That's how the Rambam says it. So the Rambam says something a little bit different. It says that there is no tefisas kedushin. What would be the implication of this Rambam? So the Rambam writes the following case. Rambam says like this. There is no tefisas kedushin, period. What would happen then in the situation that we discussed before? Let's take a look at it. We have the situation where Yaakov marries two wives, Leah and Rachel. Yaakov and Leah have Reuven, Rachel and Yaakov have Yosef. And then Yaakov dies. Now, what would be the case like this? What would be the case then? We know, of course, that Yosef is not able to marry Leah, because Leah would be Eishes Aviv. Let's say Yosef actually went ahead and did marry Leah. No, he's not supposed to. Let's say he did. And, again, there's no Tefisas Kedushin in there. There's no Tefisas Kedushin in there. But, even though there's no Tefisas Kedushin, say he went ahead and did it anyway. Maybe a civil servant, whatever it is. I don't know how it works like that. And while this is going on, he was married to his second wife. Okay? So you have right now, this boy named Yosef. He'll marry somebody named Asnas, Beheter, and he goes ahead and marries Leah Beisser. And then Yosef dies. And now falls before him Beyibim. What would be the halacha? So, Chaim. So, the Rambam has a chiddush, and the chiddush of the Rambam is that, obviously, Reuven is not going to do Yibum with his mother. But, even though, in theory, or at least, you know, I know it didn't happen with Kedushin and stuff like that, but still, Yosef considers himself to be married to what? To both Leah and to Asnas. He is able to go ahead and have Yibum with Asnas. Doesn't have to do Chalitza. He can actually marry her. Because what happens? We're not applying the issue of Tzaras Erva. You see, because the Rambam has a little bit of a different issue, a different way to understand this Mishnah. See, what the Rambam does is the Rambam says, not only do we not have an Isser of Tzaras Erva, there is actually no din of Tzaras Erva. The Rambam says, we only consider a woman to be a Tzara when the father's wife is allowed to be married to that husband. In our case, since the wife of Leah is an Erva for Yosef, she was Eishes Aviv, she's not considered married to him. There was no Tefisas Kedushin. And once there is no Tefisas Kedushin, she's not viewed as a Tzara. And therefore, the Tzaras Erva would not apply in this case. It would seem that Rashi would disagree and said that if she went ahead and did this situation of and if Yosef actually went ahead and tried to marry her, marry the woman who was Aser, marry Imo, and then a situation of Yibum would fall in, so it's possible that Rashi would say that, in that case, you couldn't do Yibum on the Tzara, and that Reuven couldn't marry Asnas. So here you see two different understandings of the Mishnah, and one very, very big nafkamina, where we see that this understanding might be very subtle, the difference might be subtle, it actually comes out to be a very big difference. Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.